Hey there, this is Brian Zond, and welcome to my sermon podcast. I'm glad that you're interested in the sermons that I preach here at Word of Life Church in St. Joseph, Missouri. And if you ever feel inclined to help us by supporting us financially, you can do that at our website, WOLC.com. Thank you. Finding God on your iPod 2018 now in its 10th season. The artist today is not the war on drugs, and the song is not Holding On, though it could have been. That was one that just didn't quite make. Great band, great song, but just didn't. There's only so many slots. And so apologies to the war on drugs. Keep trying, guys. Maybe next year. The artist that we're going to employ today, as we look at what we might be able to discern from some of the modern-day poets, this is their fourth time in 10 years to be on Finding God on Your iPod, tying them with U2. So this is a pretty big deal. I'm talking about Dave Matthews Band. Great band, great musicians. Some people call them a jam band. I get that because they can do that. But they're more than that because they write good songs, and I just think of them as a great live band. That's what they are. They're really good live. They take risks. I saw them a few years ago at whatever they call Sandstone these days. It's just going to be Sandstone to me forever. I'm not going to call it anything else. You know, it's named after some corporation or something. I don't care about that. And it must have been 105. I was there with Caleb and Aaron, and we suffered through that. Yeah, Aaron's back there nodding. I remember when Dave Matthews took the stage, he said, you know, sometimes you go to the mall and it's a hot day and maybe you're shopping for a long time and you come back and you get in your car, but you don't immediately turn it on. You just sit there and you wonder, how long could I live? How long before I would actually pass out and then die? He said, that's what it's like tonight. And it was. It was. They took an unscheduled intermission, and we were all like, please, because we don't want any of you guys to die up there. But they did a great job, put on a great show, and I don't know even how they survived, but they did. So I like Dave Matthews Band a lot. I wouldn't have him four times on Finding God on Your iPod if I didn't. Dave Matthews is an interesting guy. He says he wants to believe in God, he wants to believe in Jesus, but that he just can't. I don't know. I know he's from South Africa. He grew up in South Africa. I believe his sister was a believer. She was murdered. I think that probably had an effect on him. I just know this. Dave Matthews writes some of the most thoughtful and spiritual songs that I encounter. He's a poet, musician, who has real, genuine insight into the beauty of life and how we should live. The song that I've selected off of their new album just came out, Come Tomorrow is the name of the album. The song I've selected is Oh Joy Begin. Except actually that's not the title of the song. The title is actually Samurai Cop, and then in parentheses, Oh Joy Begin. The song has nothing to do with samurai cops. Apparently there's a notoriously terrible movie called Samurai Cop, and somebody had it on when an engineer had it on when they were working or mixing the song or something like that, and they just ended up calling it Samurai Cop, even though it has nothing to do with it. I'll go with the parenthetical title, Oh Joy Begin. The song is almost like a hymn. It's hymn-like, if you can imagine Dave Matthews Band doing a hymn. That's how I think of this. It's a tribute to the goodness of life. It's a plea for us to be open to the miracle of joy. The song really is a blessing. I think it's the bestowal of a blessing, especially upon newborns. The opening line is, the day you came, naked, afraid, your mother screams and pushes you the day you came. And it goes on from there. Well, so it begins by speaking of the birth of a child. Well, this song came out the day that Liam, my seventh grandchild, was born. So I think I need to dedicate this song to Liam, because this came the day he was born. And maybe we'll throw in Pax too, because, you know, throw in his cousin Pax is on. So Liam and Pax is on. Pax was born 6 months earlier. And so this song and this sermon will be for Liam and Pax today. Listen to the words. I'm not going to put them up there, but just listen to this beautiful hymn of blessing, trying to awaken us that despite the struggles and the sorrows and the pains, there's so much joy to be had if we'll open to it. Amen? The song goes like this, the lyrics. The day you came, naked, afraid, young mother screams and pushes you the day you came. Oh, joy begin. Weak little thing, more precious, there'll be nothing. No, oh, joy begin. Let's not forget these early days. Remember, we begin the same. We lose our way in fear and pain. Oh, joy begin. First, just one step. One word and then with laughter sing, O life begin, first just one step. Innocent kiss, black magic bliss, first broken bone, sudden and swift, O innocence. Let's not forget these early days. Remember we begin the same. We lose our way in fear and hate. O joy begin, O joy begin.
The day you came, naked, afraid, young mother screams and pushes.
Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God is full of joy. God is an eternal fountain of joy. There is a river who makes glad the city of God. There is a river of joy that flows from the fellowship of the Trinity. Yes, in Christ, God shares our pains and our sorrows so that we're not alone in our sorrows. But sorrow is not an attribute of God's being. Joy is. When God created the universe, it was done in a state of joy. When God said, "Let there be," the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Pain and sorrow are real, but not indigenous, not native to being itself. Think of sorrow as a blight, a hole, a tear in the fabric, a distortion of how being is to be. Joy is the natural state of being because we come forth from a God who is a joyful being. When a child is born, the angels sing again as on the first day of creation, "O joy, begin." I think the greatest living Christian writer is Frederick Buechner. Man, that guy can write. He's 92 years old. I think most of his writing days are done. But I tell you, if my life depended on one beautiful sentence, I would want Frederick Buechner to write that sentence. One of his more famous quotes goes like this. The grace of God means something like, "Here is your life. You might never have been, but the party wouldn't have been complete without you. Here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Nothing can separate us. It's for you that I created the universe." Now, you might never have been, but you are. Why? Because the party wouldn't be complete without you. You have the gift of being. Take a deep breath. You're alive. How about that? You're a living, breathing thing capable of experiencing the wonder and the majesty and the mystery and the goodness and glory of God. And you have two lives. You have two lives. You have a big life and a little life. Your little life is the life that most occupies your thoughts. This is your job, events, occurrences, happenings, successes and failures, victories and defeats, triumphs and disappointments. Your little life is not unimportant, but it's still not your big life. Your big life is your participation in the mystery of being. And your big life doesn't begin at your birth and it doesn't end with your death. Your big life begins with creation and it never ends because you belong to the mystery of being. Don't let the struggles and sorrows of your little life eclipse the joys of your big life. And your big life is everything from the eternal love of God to the dew on the grass in the morning. Friday morning, I went for a 5-mile walk. And I was present to the mystery of being. I was cognizant that I am. I have my life. I have the potential to experience God. And I was aware of the beauty that was all around me. As I began my walk, I felt the heat of the sun upon my face, and I thought, that's a burning star 93 million miles away, and I can feel its heat. That's a hot fire. That 93 million miles away, you can feel the heat. And so I just soaked it up. And I was just being aware of the beauty, the sun, the clouds, the trees, the birds, the butterflies. There was still the morning dew on the grass. I was aware of it all. Simone Weil said, "The beauty of the world is the tender smile of Christ coming to us through matter." Yeah, Simone Weil, a Jewish Christian philosopher, mystic from the previous century. I'll say it again. She said, "The beauty of the world." Come on, how many of you know there's beauty to be found all around us if we'll just awaken to it? When you leave today, you can just walk out there and go, yep, that fire up there is still burning. 93 million miles away. I can feel its heat on my face. That's a big fire. Let that wonder overwhelm you. Simone Weil says, "The beauty of the world is the tender smile of Christ coming to us through matter." So I was on my walk and I was aware of these things, and it evoked worship. I began to worship God. I just begin to say, "God, thank you. Thank you for being. I could have missed out. This could have been going on, and where would I be? I wouldn't have existed, and I wouldn't have known. Thank you that I am. Thank you that I have being. Thank you that I can experience you, God. Thank you that I can see how beautiful all of this is, even the dew on the grass in the morning." And while I was walking, these thoughts formed in my mind. Don't let the sorrows and struggles of your little life eclipse the joys of your big life. And your big life is everything from the eternal love of God to the dew on the grass in the morning. When I got back home after my walk, I had a text from one of my best friends. He had texted me very kind. He just said, "You know, I'm feeling gratitude, And I thank God that you're in my life," and said some nice things. And I texted him back, and for whatever reason, I just said, "Don't let the sorrows and struggles of your little life eclipse the joys of your big life. And your big life is everything from the eternal love of God to the dew on the grass in the morning." He texted back and said, "Oh, you don't know, but I really needed that today. Actually, I'm going through some grief. I'm suffering some loss, and I'm in a lot of sorrow and pain. That's just exactly what I needed." And I felt like that was a tip, a clue, that it's really what I'm supposed to tell you today. That's pretty much just my sermon. I'm just stretching it out, but that's pretty much it right there. You've got two lives. You've got a little life and you've got a big life. Your little life is not unimportant. It is important, but don't let the sorrows and struggles of your little life eclipse the joys of your big life. And your big life is everything from the eternal love of God, even down to the dew on the grass in the morning, that if you can awaken to it and see the beauty of it, it'll bring a joy to your soul. Oh, joy, begin. All the sorrows in your life belong to your little life. Yes, they're real. I know that, and God knows that. But your little life is but a drop in the ocean of your big life. The great Christian mystics, that is, these people who have experienced revelations that come from a direct experience with God. The Apostle Paul would be an example of one, but it didn't end with the Apostle Paul. We all have the opportunity to have experiences with God. Some have excelled at it. The great Christian mystics always end up saying two things. I mean, I've read a lot of them, and I notice this. They'll do it in their own way. They use their own vocabulary, but they're all saying the same two things. Number one, God is love. Number two, everything's going to be all right. Those are the two things they say over and over and over. God is love, and everything's going to be all right. Probably the greatest of the mystics, the Christian mystics, is Julian of Norwich from the 14th century in England. She wrote a book. In fact, she's considered the first woman to write a book, have it published in Western history. She wrote a book in the 14th century called Divine Revelations of Love. And I want to read you just a little excerpt from the 13th revelation of divine love. She writes, "I had often wondered why, in God's foreknowledge, His wisdom could not have prevented the origin of sin. For if He had, I thought, all would have been well. But Jesus, who in this vision told me about everything I needed to know, answered me with these words, 'It is true that sin is the cause of all this pain, but all will be well, and all will be well, and all manner of things will be well.'" She continues, "Christ wants us to know that He takes care not only of the noble and great things, but also of the humble and small, lowly and simple things. All are equal." That is what He means by all manner of things will be well. He wants us to know that the least thing will not be forgotten. But when and how it will be done is unknown to all God's creatures under Christ. And no one will know until it happens. But the reason He wants us to know that this deed will take place is because He wants us to be less anxious and more at peace in love, and to stop looking at all the worrying things that hold us back from truly enjoying Him. For just as the Blessed Trinity created all things from nothing, so the same Blessed Trinity will make well all that is not well. I believe that. Read that again. For just as the Blessed Trinity created all things from nothing. She's a good theologian too. Thomas Merton says she's the greatest theologian in English-speaking history. For just as the Blessed Trinity created all things from nothing, so the same Blessed Trinity will make well all that is not well. For this is the great deed that our Lord is going to perform. And when this happens, He will keep His word and make everything well that is not well. And all I have to say to that is, oh, joy begin. For indeed, God causes all things to work together for what? For good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Everything's going to be all right. That's the way I say it. I say everything's going to be all right. Sister Julian says, all shall be well and all shall be well and all manner of things shall be well. Well, actually, Sister Julian says that's what Jesus told her. And I believe her. I don't necessarily believe everybody that says Jesus told me. I believe Julian. We've had about 6 centuries or so to examine her work. It stands the test of time. The Apostle Paul told his church in Corinth that he was a worker for their joy. He said, I'm not here to lord it over you. I'm a worker for your joy. I feel that way about my ministry as your pastor. I'm working for your joy. Every day, I pray for you. I pray several things. I won't tell them all to you, but I'll tell you one of the things I pray for you every day. I pray that the joy of the Lord would be your strength. Isn't that a good prayer? I pray that for you every morning. I pray that the joy of the Lord would be your strength. You know, in the eyes of the Romans, in the first few centuries of the church, one of the strangest things about the early Christians to the Romans was their almost ludicrous joy. The Romans just scratched their heads. They looked at them and they said, they're mostly poor. A lot of them are slaves. They almost all belong to some lower class. They're frequently persecuted. And yet their joy is undeniable. It's evident that they have some sort of joy that you can't quite explain. Either they're crazy or there's something to this. And enough concluded there was something to this that the church was growing at a rate of about 40% per decade. Because despite the hardships that were involved with calling yourself a follower of Jesus, people saw the joy they had. And they wanted in on that. Well, I'm a worker for your joy. And since I pray every day that you would have the joy of the Lord as your strength, I've already prayed that for you today, but I thought I'd pray again. I thought I'd pray with you right here. Because some of you really need that. And we all need it. You know, if somebody asks you, would you like some more joy? You say, yeah, I'll sign up for that right now. But there are times when it's like I'm running critically low. I'm looking at the joy tank and it's almost below the slash on the E there. I don't know how much longer. I've got to have something. I don't know. Would anybody be honest enough just to raise your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I'm kind of in that situation. All right, I'd like everybody to stand, just everybody here. Everybody to stand because everybody wants in on this. But I'm thinking especially for those of you that it's more of a desperate situation. I'm going to just take a little time. We've got some time. Not in a hurry. I want to take some time and just pray for you. And the only thing I ask, I'm going to believe you don't have to try to work anything up. The only thing I'm asking of you is just kind of be open. Don't shut down. Don't say no. Why would you anyway? But don't do that. Don't resist. But open to the possibility that God's going to answer this prayer and give you joy. Lord Jesus, I believe what Simone Weil said, that the beauty of the world is your tender smile coming to us through matter. I believe that. Jesus, I believe that you are near. Jesus, I believe you are here. Lord Jesus, you make us to know the path of life. Jesus, in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, pleasures forevermore. I pray for these people. I pray that the joy of the Lord would be their strength. In other words, Jesus, I pray that your joy would come to them. Where their joy is deficient, where their joy is depleted, where their joy is running out. Jesus, I pray that your joy, the joy that you experience in the fellowship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, would come to these people. Mourning has already lasted. Sorrow has lasted. Weeping has lasted for the long night. I pray that joy would come now this morning. The sorrow and the weeping have lasted long enough. Let your joy come. Anoint them with the oil of gladness, I pray, Lord. Lord, help these people to live out of their big life. We all have our little life. We have to attend to it. It's not unimportant. We have jobs and responsibilities and bills and finances and relationships and all of that. It's not unimportant. It is important. But it's still not our big life. Our big life is hidden with you in Christ. Our big life is hidden with God in Christ, where it's safe, 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 safe. Our big life is sustained by this truth, God, that you love us unconditionally, and nothing is ever going to change that. Neither height, nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor anything. Nothing is going to be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ. That's what sustains our big life. Lord, I pray that you would help these people to live out of their big life, so that the sorrows and struggles of their little life do not eclipse the joys of the big life. Yes, let them be sustained by your eternal love. Yes, let them be encouraged by the little things too, even the dew on the grass in the morning. And Jesus, I believe what you told Sister Julian of Norwich. I believe you spoke this to her. I believe her report. I believe, Jesus, you did tell her. All will be well. All will be well. And all manner of things will be well. Jesus, to that I want to say, oh, joy begin. Oh, joy begin. May we borrow from the joy that will be ours when all things are made well. May we have a down payment of that joy. May we draw upon that reservoir of joy when you have made all things new, when all things have been healed, when you've caused all things to work together for good. Lord, may we draw in anticipation on that joy to come, and may it be present with us today. Oh, joy begin. Amen and amen. Did you receive that? Did you receive that today? Just kind of just wait for the glow to spread throughout your soul, throughout the rest of this morning and this day, and let it be there. And I'll pray this again for you tomorrow morning. Amen. Now it's time for us to come to the table of the Lord. This morning, our gospel.